humor me this morning, say, I believe the Word of God and want it to accomplish all that God wants for me. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. Father, as we just take a moment to go to your Word this morning, I'm asking that our hearts would be open. I'm asking, as we said, we believe the Word of God, which means we want the Word of God to change us, encourage us, strengthen us, and guide us. May we be in your Word so that we know your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. A perfect example would be if somebody sneezed right during I said that. My thought this morning, and I want to take a moment, is when you say God bless you to somebody, what are you saying to them? And when somebody sneezes and you say God bless you, you may not even know that person. What are you saying to them? And what message are you sending? Now, if you were first century Christians, when somebody sneezed and you said, God bless you, you had a direct purpose of why you said that. Because during that first century, and because of the traditions of ancient times, they believed that when you sneezed, that your soul literally was or could be blown out of your body. So when you come up to somebody and they sneeze and they're saying, God bless you, they are literally saying, I know it's possible that your soul could be blown out your nose. I'm saying, God bless you, and don't let that happen. Now, I realize as 21st century believers, you probably don't have that anywhere in your mind. But you can imagine that they believed that when they sneezed, that their soul could be blown out of their body. And also, at a vulnerable minute when you're sneezing, that an evil spirit could come into you. So what they're saying is they're doing some battle. They're doing some warfare. They're saying, God bless you, that this doesn't happen. So I want to talk about blessings this morning, and I'll try to make it a little less dramatic than that. How about that? That you know, I really don't believe that your soul will be sneezed out of you. So let's really see what we're saying when we say to somebody, God bless you. We should all want, when I say let's talk about a blessing, we all should want a blessing. Say amen. You should want one in it, but what does it mean to each one of us? Do we have a different thought when we put this together? When we say we want a blessing, are we asking God for it, or are you just want a break? Now hear me what I'm saying. Are you when you say you want a blessing, are you saying I want God's blessing? Or are you saying, I want a break? I want to get what I deserve. I want luck to go my way. What are you saying? Because there's a big difference between the two. Say amen to that. There's a big difference than saying, I want God's blessing, and saying, I want a blessing where I get a break. I want the luck to change because things haven't been going my way. So There definitely is a difference between the two. As a pastor, this is no exaggeration. There is not one day that goes by that someone doesn't ask me to pray for them. That someone doesn't, in conversation or situation, doesn't come up to me and say, I want you to pray for me. And most of the time, they're praying that God would bless them to meet a need, to meet a circumstance, to deliver them from something, to allow them to have financial blessing to meet an immediate need. Some are asking for healing. Some are asking that the depression would be gone and everything in between. And you know, do you want God's blessing, keeping all of this in mind, do you want God's blessing or do you want a bailout? Do you see what I'm saying? Because one, if you're asking for God's blessing, you're asking for a life change. You're asking for God to direct that life change. And then the other way, where you're just looking for something good to happen, you're really looking for a bailout. And there are certain things. Now hear me. Some of this you might want to write down. There are certain things from God that you can only receive by being a child of God. Do you hear me this morning? So unless you understand what a blessing is and where you're asking it for, there are some things that you can only get from God by being a child of God. And you won't have them while you're in rebellion. The Bible tells us that God chooses at times to rain his blessings on the just and the unjust. Meaning God has a choice. He always has a choice. He can give a blessing to whoever he wants to because he's God. But he is saying that if you're not a child of God, that these blessings could be temporary. They could be not long-standing. Those outside of God could receive a blessing, but it's temporary. It's not eternal. It may not last forever. The true blessings of God are not only for today, but they are blessings that you could store up in heaven that can't be destroyed, can't be stolen, can't be taken away by any other person. Do you have your mind? These are questions that only you can answer. Is do you have your mind only on the blessings of today? Only on the blessings of right now? Only on the blessings of getting away from a circumstance? Or when you're saying, God bless me, are you saying, God, I want not only the blessings for today, not only that are temporary, but also those that are stored up. I'm thinking of others and building eternal blessings and making a statement. Now, I did a bit of a study on the blessings of God. And here's what I found. The more I got into God's Word, and especially to put this together this week, is what I found is that most of God's richest blessings, God has some shallow blessings. Do you understand what I'm saying by shallow blessings? There are some things that God gives, and they're more abundant, and they're going to happen more often. But when I look into God's Word, and I see if you're really going to grab on to God's richest blessings, they're not going to be based upon immediate need, but they're conditional. God's richest blessings are conditional. See, here's what the world don't understand, and here's what they get mad sometimes at when they look at God's Word and they don't see some of the things happening. If you want the blessing of eternal life with Jesus Christ and you want heaven, there's only one way you're going to get it. It's through Jesus Christ. You can't hope for it. You can't earn it. You can't bargain for it. You can't do any of these things. If you want heaven, and if you really, you know, when you want that assurance that you know when you die that you're going to heaven, there's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. It's conditional. But yet the world wants to just make all these different side roads, and they all want to make God something that he's not, and then get mad when it doesn't happen. The Bible tells us that God won't leave us nor forsake us. But that's conditional too. Do you understand that? That's conditional too. God tells us that that is a promise for a child of God. He tells us as a child of God that He will not leave us or forsake us. He will not leave us by ourselves. He will not allow us and make us do things on our own. He doesn't say, and we get mad at this too, it doesn't say nothing bad will happen to good people. We heard some this morning in Sunday school talk about it. I can tell you why bad things happen to good people. Because we live in a sinful world, but it won't always be that way. Yes, we will go through hard things. Good people go through hard things. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have hard times. But it means as a child of God, He says, you won't do it alone. Isn't that good stuff? That is a promise. But if you don't know the promise, you don't understand what He's telling. You don't understand the blessing of being a child of God. You don't understand that there is that assurance that He gives us. The world wants that assurance, but He doesn't give that assurance to unbelievers. He tells us and draws us in and wants believers to understand, as a child of God, I'm not going to leave you. Andy Womack is a pastor, and he's wrote a couple books, and he makes this broad statement, and I agree with it. Allow me to just take a moment, and then I'll give you his quote and tell you why I believe this so much. He says that God's preference is not to meet your needs only by a miracle. And then he goes on to define a miracle as a suspension of natural laws. And basically, if you want to just make it in terms you understand, is a miracle is something you can't do yourself. If you can do it yourself, it's not a miracle. And so he's basically saying that. And he goes on, and before he makes this quote, he says, I believe in miracles. God still works in miracles, and God will still use miracles to draw people closer to Him. But here's his quote that I like. He says this. He said, would you rather receive a miracle of healing or live with the blessing of good health? Then he goes on to say, would you rather have the Lord perform a miracle to pull you out of bankruptcy or be so blessed financially that He would not have to? Now stop and think about that for a minute. To me, what is being said here this morning is very simple. Are you looking for God's blessings or a bailout? You see what I'm saying? Are you just coming to God, you know? And the way I see this is He's saying it's better to live in God's blessing than to be always asking God for a miracle. Do you see what I'm saying? And those sometimes when we get ourselves so wrapped up in life and so wrapped up in the things that are going on, we're constantly, God, give me a miracle. And He's saying, live in my blessing. Live in my blessing. I still do miracles, but when you live miracle to miracle, I believe sometimes we live crisis to crisis. And God's saying, stop living like that. Live in my blessing. I'm still going to pour out. I still have a big shovel. I still want to do these things. And if we got to the point where we trusted God more, and I don't mean just like I said, Lord, say I believe in God's word. We can say that, but do you believe it? Do you live it? When your back's against the wall, do you believe it and live it? And you know, no scripture, no God's promises, know why they're given. I have several scriptures here, and for me, any one of these could be a life verse. And I do have one that I believe is a life verse for me. Let me give you a couple of these, and you think about it. As I say God's word, let it sink in, and then understand God's promises, understand the conditions that God gives some promises, And where do these verses fit in your life? Psalms 1 says, "Blessed is the one that does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." Psalm 138 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes, and with your right hand you save me." Psalm 23, without reading the whole thing, says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down with green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." One more. Isaiah 41. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now listen to me. These are promises of God. These are promises of God for the children of God. They become our blessings as we receive them. Say amen to that. They become your blessing as you receive it. God, you said it, I believe it. I accept that, I claim it, I take it, I receive it, and want your benefits from it. I believe some don't receive blessings from God because they don't ask God for anything. They're moaning and complaining about what they don't have, but when it really comes down to it, there are some people that don't ask God for anything, except when they're in a hard spot. There are some that don't receive a blessing because their God's too small. You hear me this morning? Not that God's too small, but their God is too small. They have put him in a box. They have probably put him on this beautiful little mantle or stuck in a corner or on their favorite shelf. And they painted God into this little box, and they just, when they look at their circumstance and they look at their pretty box where God's at, they don't think their God can do whatever they're asking. I'm telling you to throw away the little box and start serving the God that cannot be put in a box. I think some are living outside of God's blessing because you're outside of God's hand of protection. And I want to tell you, that's a scary place to be. Let me remind you of something, and maybe this is something that you would want to write down. When you get something from God that you don't deserve, that's grace. Do you understand that? When you get something from God that you did not deserve, that's grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. And when you don't get something that you deserve, that's mercy. Say amen this morning. When you experience God's hand of blessing on your life, that is a blessing. Do you understand that? There's a big difference. And here's the thing. I want you to understand something. God's grace, God's mercy, and God's blessings can all be active in your life at one time. They absolutely can work together. They absolutely can draw you closer to God. And I believe some people are missing the blessings of God because they're only looking for material blessings. Say amen. You might as well say amen because it's true. Our whole idea of God blessing us is money and stuff. The more money I have, the more God must be blessing. The more stuff I have, the more God must be blessing. See, the world idea of blessing is this: success, fame, money, material things, popularity, and position. High up, how high are you on the food chain? And none of these things in themselves are wrong. Do you understand me? There's nothing wrong about any individual thing there. Except if God's out of the equation, you miss the whole idea of God blessing. Do you understand that? And then I look at God's idea of blessing. See, if you're looking for money and you're only looking for position, or you're only looking for stuff, you forget that God's idea of blessing is a lack of fear when you go through a circumstance. That's a blessing. Do you understand that? The peace and the assurance of who you are in Christ. You realize the impact that believers would make if we would ever get smart enough to know who we are in Christ and what we could accomplish in the power of Christ? There'd be some devil stomping, let me tell you. There would be some devil stomping. Being right with God is a blessing that you can't imagine unless you're sitting there and you know you're not perfect. It's not that you didn't make mistakes. We make mistakes every day, all of us. But being right with God, and when we're not, we're coming to Him and asking Him for forgiveness. True happiness happens in the realm of God. Experiencing the joy of God and understanding that you want to live in the will of God brings happiness, brings peace. I don't know how many of you remember years ago they talked about the prayer of Jabez. Man, preachers preach that thing to death. Every channel you saw it. You know, Bruce Wilkerson wrote the book, The Prayer of Jabez, and everybody bought it. But I want you to see something here. This is the one verse of that, and believe me, I've preached it a few times over the years. But here they preach it to death. But listen to his prayer to God: "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And then it ended, and God granted his request. Now, when you first race through that, you think, "Oh, God, expand my territory. Bless me. Keep me from pain." But really, when you look at this, that's not what he's asking. It's not a selfish prayer. He said, "God, that you would expand my territory." And I believe he's asking for a territory of influence, a territory to make an impact, allowing him to have a broadened spectrum of ministry. And he says, "God, bless me and expand that area of influence. May I be more like you." And when he says, "Keep me from harm and pain," he's not asking God to put him in this bubble and keep him from all harm and pain, because how many know that's impossible? Because bad things happen to good people. No matter how careful you are, bad things happen to good people. And he's not asking, "God, keep me in this bubble. Don't let any harm or pain come." I believe he's asking, "God, don't let me be stupid. Don't let me do the dumb things. Don't let me cause myself pain. Don't let me be outside of your will." And I love that. God granted his wish. God granted his request. God has redeemed us. God has forgiven us. God has provided his will for us. And God has provided this inheritance for us. Those that are in Christ, let me say it again, those that are in Christ will give glory to God by serving God and having this big shovel of blessing, helping others. But the great thing is God's got a bigger shovel. And I say it all the time. We don't do it for that reason, but you're not going to be able to outgive God. You won't be able to outgive them in your money. You won't be able to outgive them in your time and love and respect and anything else. And as you reach out to others, it's going to come back to you. It may not be money and stuff. You may be as broke to the broke for the rest of your life. But it doesn't mean that God's not going to give you blessings, because he has a bigger shovel. Some talk during this period of time about predestination, meaning that God predestinates who's going to make heaven. I don't believe that for a minute. And I especially don't believe it here in the United States. I believe that with all of technology and everything else, I believe that God will give opportunity and we will stand before God for the opportunities that we have. Some will have more opportunities than others, but we will all have opportunities. And here's the thing. Some will take it and some won't. And we will stand before God for the decision that we make. I have an illustration that I thought of this week, and it's a shipwrecked man sitting in the middle of the ocean, floating, wondering where and how he's going to survive. And a ship sees this doomed man floating out in the ocean, and they come to him and throw this man a life preserver, knowing that without a life preserver, this guy's going to die. This man turns the life preserver down and says, "I think I'll be okay on my own." Folks, do you hear me this morning? That's about as dumb and stupid and silly as thinking that we can make it without God. Floating in an ocean, thinking that we're going to be okay, thinking that we can save ourselves. That's as silly as thinking and turning down the blessings of God and turning down the promises of God. It's almost as bad as telling a doctor that has the medicine that can cure you, "No thanks, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I ain't feeling it. I don't think that's right." The truth is the truth. And once you know the truth, you have to react to it. You have to respond to it. Disagreeing with it doesn't change the facts. Amen to that? Once you know the truth, just because you disagree with it doesn't matter. The truth is the truth. Disagreeing won't change the fact. So I'm closing. What does it really mean to be blessed of God? Like I said, the world's idea is to provide, now hear me, the world's idea of a blessing is to provide everything needed and not allow anything bad to happen. And in their minds, no matter where God's at in their life, if God's even in their life at all, even if they neglect him, they have this in their minds that God should still bless them. And God's idea of blessing is this: to be in a right relationship with him so that he can pour out the promises of God. And that you would be smart enough to read God's word and know what the promises are and know what's available. Say amen to that. What's available? You imagine God probably sits here and thinks, "Why don't they take advantage of some of these blessings that I want to pour? Why do some of them hoard and hold on to that little bit they have when I want to bless them?" There's a joke that a guy wanted to go to the pearly, now I'll probably get it wrong because I just thought of it now as I was saying this. But the guy wanted to, he's standing before St. Peter at the gate, and this guy is trying to bring all of this gold in bricks, and Peter looks at him and says, "Well, why are you bringing road pavers?" Stop and think about Revelation. Why are you trying to bring road pavers? God wants so much more for us. We know that we're not perfect. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He expects us to come with the right heart. He expects us to be living the life that He's called us to. He wants us to leave that sin nature so that we can get and receive all that He has for us. We know that Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. He's calling each one of us to purpose. He's calling each one of us to remember that His blessings include grace, mercy, and blessings. Can you say amen to that this morning? We're not going to sneeze our souls out, folks, but we can bless each other. We can understand that God wants to truly pour out blessings in these last days to people. But you can't be a hoarder. You got to be open to what God's asking you to do. You can't not know His promises and then blame God for not giving you what He's already promised you. Just accept it and receive it and see what God won't do. Amen? Father, as we just take a moment, each one of us needs Your blessings. Each one of us desires Your blessings. But Lord God, for those conditional ones, may we know Your promises so that we can receive Your promises in the way that You designed them. For the other things, Lord God, may we not so much be looking for money and stuff, but God, give us the strength not to fear. Give us the strength to know that You will never leave us or forsake us, that we won't do these things on our own. When we're at the tough times and the tough spots, we're not alone. As a child of God, we're not alone. Your promise says that You'll be there. Your word tells us as a congregation that where two or three are gathered, there You are in the midst. We know that this morning, as the word was opened up, that Lord God, You're here and You're desiring to speak to people. Your anointing has fallen on us. What are we going to do with Your anointing? What are we going to do with Your strength and wisdom? May we accomplish all that You want to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen.